Let's say we're going to go on a trip. Minneapolis. Along the way to Minneapolis, you see some of these signs. And if you see these, what's it going to tell you regarding the journey that we're on? If you see a sign that says Ames. If you see a sign, Mason City. If you see another sign, Albert Lee. Another one with Owatonna. What's that telling you regarding our destination? Are we on the right path? We're on the right path because the signs will tell us the direction in which we're heading. Okay, let's say we want to go to Minneapolis again. But instead of those signs, here are the signs you begin to see. Winterset. Osceola. Bethany. Liberty. Are we on the right path? How do you know that? What do the signs tell us? The signs tell us we're on the wrong path. We will reach a destination. But the problem is you're going to reach the wrong destination that you intend to head towards. And we're ones, guys especially. When Brenda and I lived in Chicago, you get in Chicago traffic, you just hang on and go. And there's times she'd say, are we going the right direction? I don't know, but we're getting there fast. And you know, one of the hardest things to do, occasionally, you know, I take an exit, you go underneath the interstate, you turn and get back, and she goes, was that on the direction that we were heading? And you know, guys, we hate to say, no, you know, I was going the wrong direction. We don't like to admit we're heading the wrong direction. We're going to be dealing with, this morning, another destination. We've been talking about financial freedom. When you're on the road to financial freedom, what if you see some of these signs along the way? You're on to financial freedom and you see a Visa balance that comes in $4,500. Then next you see a MasterCard with, you know, over $8,000. And then you see a Discover card that comes in, you know, you got $600-$700 going on there. And then you realize, oh, the bank's also saying, we're charging you for certain things. And then, well, how much money do I have? $31. Now, your road, your destination is financial freedom. What is that telling you about the road that you're on? Are you on the right road? You're on the wrong road. You will reach a destination if you continue down that path, but it will not be the destination that you desire. See, along the road to financial freedom, there are a lot of potholes and detours and things that can get us diverted, and we fail to realize we're heading the wrong direction. Jesus told a parable, and in his parable, he talked about the seed, the sower. And he said, it's the same seed, it's the same sower, but there are four different kinds of soil. Listen to what he says regarding the third type of soil. I just want to allude to that. In Luke 18:14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. I want you to circle that part there. As they go on their way. See, you can go on your way. And somebody can suggest, are you sure you're on the right way? And you can say, I know where I'm going. But Jesus said, there are those who are his followers that go on their own way. But as you set out to go on your own way, you can literally be choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They'll choke you. Every one of us face the same temptations. Whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, we face the same temptations. We have all kinds of things that we get in the mail. Anybody else get credit card offers in the mail? When you pick up the paper this morning, are there ads galore saying, buy me, buy me, buy me? And then you see those commercials. And the Super Bowl, they're going to pay $2.1 million. I am not buying any of those products that they advertise just because they're stupid enough to pay that much. But then I say that, and I probably will. Because, see, I see those commercials, and I think, boy, that'd be nice to drive, and that vacation would be nice, and Red Lobster tonight? Let's go do it. And we see those things, and we're allured to them. Here's statistics. And sometimes we don't like the stats. 43% of adults spend more than they make. Each time a credit card is used, we will buy 34% more than if we use cash. $8,000 is the average credit card debt per adult person. I've heard no amen, Phil. I've heard no amen so far. You know, what's going on here? We hear this stuff and we don't go, amen, that's right. We kind of go, you know, yeah. See, I am one. I can pick up this. And I can hold this up as we're traveling and I can wave it around. The only problem is, if I do not open it, I may not arrive at my destination. We can also take this. We can hold it up and wave it around. But if we do not open it up, we're not going to arrive at our destination. This morning we're going to talk about our destination is financial freedom. I wonder, anybody else messed up in their finances? Am I the only one? Is that the reason you had me stand up here? That pastor said, now who can we come to be an illustration of one who has messed up in their life regarding finances? Am I the only one? Have you struggled with things regarding finances? I know we don't like to talk about that. But does anybody here want to be on a road to financial freedom? Amen. Do you want to be on that road? If so, we're going to look at some things this morning. The first thing. Number one, you need to make sure your life is pointed in the right direction. Luke 18:14 again. As they go on their way, they're choked by life's pleasures, riches, life's worries. Amidst that, you've got to make sure, because the way in which you're pointed is where you're going to end up. And if you are pointed in a way where you say, I am going my way, and I know what I want, and I know what I like, and I got to have my things, you can be promised this. You will be choked. Next time a credit card solicitor calls you on the phone, I encourage you to use this passage for them. When they say, wouldn't you like this? It's a great offer. And I'll say, no, I'm sorry, but that will choke me. It will open up the opportunity for you to share your faith with them, because they'll go, what? No, I can't do that, because that is going to point me on a direction. I will get choked if I take that. Think what it says in Proverbs 22:6. You may be familiar with this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from that. You know what that's talking about? Parents, you point your children in the right direction. You get them heading that direction. And when they're older, they will end up at their destination. Sometimes parents along the way say, well, they seem to be swerving a bit. Point them in the right direction. But go down to Proverbs 22:7. It says, the rich rule over the poor. We know that. But look at the next part. And the borrower is servant to the lender. Would you repeat that last part? The borrower is servant to the lender. One more time. The borrower is servant to the lender. See, servant is a powerful word here. Servant is a word slave. Do you realize when you are indebted to a lender, you are a slave, a servant to the one that you borrowed from? Try that on those solicitors also who called. Sorry, I'm against slavery. I can't accept your offer. And again, you'll have an opportunity to be able to share your faith. Because in essence, God's Word says that's what's going to occur. Now, right about now, your neighbor may be kind of sweating. They don't like this. Look over at him and say, he's meddling. I acknowledge. I don't like what he's talking about. He's meddling. Think what Jesus spoke of regarding servanthood. Jesus said this, Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. See, that servanthood that Jesus is talking about. Remember that passage? The borrower is what? Servant to the lender. And Jesus comes along saying, I want you to be a servant, but a servant to me. You have to be a servant to me. I quit college about 4 weeks into my first semester. The reason I quit, classes I thought were a little bit harder in high school. They actually wanted you to read and go to class and stuff. And also, there was this thing, I like toys. I wanted a fancy car, I wanted a motorcycle, I quit college, I got a job, it didn't make much, but it's amazing. Because I had a job, they would loan me money, and I borrowed money, and I bought toys, and I had lots of toys. The only problem was, I was also a new Christian. I'd come to church, and you know the part of the service I absolutely hated? When they take that offering. They're passing that plate in front of me, and I'm thinking, you expect me to give anything? Do you know what my payments are? I can't give anything here. Lord, do you know what I owe? And then when those bills would come once a month, I'd think, I can't pay these bills. You know what the Lord's asking of me? See, there was this strain and struggle going on because I had to decide, who is it I am serving there? It's a struggle that we all go through. Ask yourself a question this morning. Who are you in debt to? Who are you serving? What is it that you are in debt to? Not only do you need to make sure that you're heading in the right direction, second thing, you need to make sure that you learn to wait. To wait. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You need to circle the word wait. See, the word wait here is interchangeable with hope. It's a longing, an expectancy, a trust in one. Our trust is in God. And in that, we have a gigantic pothole that we all face because we don't like to wait for anything. We don't want to wait on anything. Credit cards. Credit cards have removed our need to wait. These things right here. You want something? No money in the bank? Go get it right now. See, you may be dissatisfied with what God has entrusted to you. Are you dissatisfied with what God has given to you? You know what you can do? Charge ahead anyway. God, you think I can only handle that much? I don't think so. I think I know more than you do. And I'm going to charge ahead in my life. We can get in incredible debt in our society. This week at my home. I just pulled out those that were the credit card offers that I had. It was actually a slow week. Only six this week. These are the ones I got. And I started looking at those going, how much, my credit line's what? And 0%? I can do this. And I started looking at that and then I see a commercial and I'm kind of going, and it's like, throw that thing away. Because I'm tempted by that. We long for things like that. How about you? Have you learned to wait? Or are you at the point where you say, I have to have it now. I've got to have it now. We as Americans hate to wait. If you are a receptionist working at a doctor's office, let me give you a suggestion of what not to say. I absolutely hate it when they say this. You go in for your appointment. You're on time. And they say, would you care to have a seat in our waiting room? You know what everything in me wants to say? No, I'm here. Because I know when they mean waiting room, they mean waiting room. They want you to wait, and we are ones who want it right now. But remember with debt, the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. And if we don't wait, we're going to get choked. We will get choked there. The destination that we're heading towards can absolutely get wrecked by debt. When Brenda and I were first married, our apartment, we used to joke, was decorated in early Salvation Army, an early garage sale. Forget that early American stuff. You know, anything we could get. We were absolutely elated when we moved from cement blocks and boards. Anybody else remember those? To particle board shelving. Man, we thought we were right uptown there. And then a couple years into marriage, we'd been given a mattress that was like 20 years old. We had those first 2 years. 2 years into it, we were able to actually buy a new mattress. We thought, man, we have moved up. We have arrived. 4 years into our marriage, we had one car, and I thought, man, we need a second car. And the guy across the street was pushing his car off of his driveway to the side. I went over and said, what are you doing with that? He goes, thing doesn't run. Junkyard said he'll give me $45 for it. And I go, $45? I'll try to fix it. I didn't know anything about cars. I thought, what do I have to lose? Man, that thing had more sheet metal in it and rivets and duct tape and Bondo. I called it the Bondo Mobile. I mean, that thing was... It was an awesome car. Actually, I had a guy in the church. He was embarrassed that his pastor was driving such a junker. He goes, come over to my house. I'll paint it. And I thought, oh, Mako paint job. He took out flat spray. He sprayed the entire car, windows, everything. He went over the entire thing and then handed me a rag with like mineral spirits and said, wipe out what you want to see through. I'm going, okay, turn signal. Yeah, wipe those headlights, Man, I drove that car for a couple years. I was thrilled. You may have gone through some financial things as well, but think of a newlywed today. A newlywed today. I feel for you. Because you can have two new cars right away. You can have a new living room suit. You can have a new dining room. You can go on a cruise. You can have it all. Because it's offered to you. And I feel for you. Man, they wouldn't give us a credit card back then. Nowadays, my daughter, when she was in high school, she started getting credit cards. I'm thinking, she's in high school. What are you doing? Then I went over and picked her up one day, and I saw one of the cars the kid was driving. I said, "What is that? He's in 10th grade." She goes, "Oh, it's a new Mustang." She goes, $20,000. I go, "Where does he work?" She goes, "Oh, he's got a part-time job." I said, "You got Daddy Warbucks in him?" "No, he bought it." The borrower is what? Servant to the lender there. For us. No cash, no problem, big problem. Because see, we've not learned to wait. The third thing. Make sure you follow the example of those, our role models, who waited. You know, Joseph, he was one that God said, "You will rule. You will rule someday." And yet, was he going to say, "So right now, I'm not waiting, I want to rule"? But God said, no. Over a 16-year period, he waited. And there came an opportunity where if he had not learned to wait, Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, took notice of Joseph. "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" You know what he was dealing with? He's saying, "I can't serve two masters. Because if I am to charge this, if I am to go in debt, I can't ever pay this debt off. Because I have violated what God has in store." He was willing to wait. Even be falsely accused of rape there. He waited. And he ruled one day. Amen. Who else do we have there? Nehemiah. You look at what was going on with Nehemiah's life. God put an incredible burden upon his heart. It wasn't a burden for a VCR or a big screen or a recliner or something like that. It was a huge remodeling project. The remodeling project was called Jerusalem. The walls were down. Now think what you would do in our society, in our day and age, if God put that burden upon your heart. I mean, we could get a Menards card, a Home Depot card, a Lowe's card. We'd get a second mortgage. You know, we could borrow. We could do anything there to accomplish the goal. But here's what it says that he did. "When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Do you know that it was a legitimate need? The walls needed rebuilt. But as opposed to running out, he waited and said, "God, what do you have in store?" And he prayed and he prayed and he fasted. He said, "God, what do you have for me?" I can get so impulsive and run ahead. And God says, "Wait, wait." See, he waited and God blessed in an incredible way. You may think, "I have absolutely no control over this." I would encourage you, next time you think you have to have something, I encourage you to fast and pray for 1 week before you use your credit card and then see what God has to say to you. I would bet you will see a difference in your life. You may think, "That's pretty radical." Well, tell you what, if you're heading the wrong direction, it takes some radical things to get going in another direction there. Jesus said this, because he's an incredible example to us of waiting. It said, "When he was 12 years old, everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." At 12 years old, he was good. And yet, you know what God had in store for him? Jesus, when he was 30 years old, when he began his ministry. Do you know he waited for 18 years? At 12, couldn't you see him arguing and saying, "Come on, I know my stuff." They're amazed, they're impressed. Jesus said, "No, I'm going to wait there." Our society hates to wait. You don't think so? This week, you're at a green light. And just don't go right away. When that light turns, just wait. See how long before somebody, you know, hits that horn and is going, "Come on, come on, come on, let's get going." We like to wait. Computers. How many of you have bought another computer because that other one, you had to wait too long? Come on, I want that access. You know, it's slow. Come on. And we think, "I got to have it right now." Let's not be an impulsive society there. One of the great lessons my wife and I learned was when we went to Growing Kids God's Way, when our kids were little. If you haven't gone through that, I would encourage it. Because they talked about, does it ever drive you nuts when your kids pester you and you're on the phone and they're interrupting you and they have to have their way and they stomp and gotta have it now and they make a scene and I'm going, And he says, think what happens if we raise a society where they've never learned to wait. And I thought, oh my goodness, what would happen? And as we went through and we learned it, and one of the basic things we learned regarding our children is teaching them that when they have a question, to come up and just put their hand on the arm. Don't say anything. Don't jump. Don't do this. That was one of the greatest things we learned, to teach our children to wait. And I remember he also said, when they do that, don't stop your conversation. If you're in the middle of a conversation with someone, wait till an appropriate time. And we did that. And you know what I found? I started liking my kids a whole lot more. And I also found other people started liking my kids a whole lot more. Because they had learned to wait. Have we learned to wait there? So far we've talked about, make sure you're pointing in the right direction if you want to be financially free. You need to know how to wait, and you also need to be following the role model of others who waited. But the fourth thing, develop the ability to wait. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity, that's what it's a sign of. When was the last time you delayed gratification? When we wait, we give God the benefit of the doubt that He knows what He is doing. Do you feel that God is withholding something financially, some financial resources that you really need? Do you think that God is withholding something from you? I have to admit, there have been many times in my life when I've been angry and I thought, God, this is not right. Come on, a little more here, a little help, a little relief. And you know what we really do when we say, I'm just going to keep going in debt, is saying, God, I'm going to help you out. I have a better idea than you do. And yet He still says, a borrower is what? Servant to the lender. 43 times in the Old Testament, you have this phrase, wait upon the Lord. You know, I realize today it's a tough topic. We don't like talking about this. It's difficult. But to ask yourself, are you heading in the right direction if you want to be financially free? If you've ever been with someone and you think you're lost, it can be awkward to say, do you know where you're going? Is this the right road? I used to think it was funny when ones would come up when I was a little older and they'd say, come on, Don, grow up. But you know, I came to realize it's really sad when somebody says that to you. But what if the Lord's looking at us saying, would you mature with your finances? What road are you on today? Are you on a road to financial freedom? Or are you on a road to financial destruction? Where are you heading? Do you know where you're going? Have you learned to wait in your life? Are you following the role models that we have set forth in Scripture? Have you become a servant to the lender? Do you feel as if you're absolutely overwhelmed? There was a story a few years ago of a man who was traveling across Illinois, and he knew he would get to the point where he had to turn and go north to Chicago. This man was encountered at a rest area, and he's standing there at one of those maps where, you know, you're kind of looking like this, and the guy said, do you know where I'm at? And I looked at the guy and I said, yeah, you're right here outside of St. Louis. And he goes, I'm not outside of St. Louis. I'm heading to Chicago. I've been driving 2 hours, and I knew it was only 2 hours when I turned to get to Chicago. Part of me wanted to walk away and go, God bless you, keep driving. But I had to tell him, you made a wrong turn. And you have been ignoring the signs because you're down here by East Alton. You're down by St. Louis. You went the wrong direction. And do you know how sad it was to see a guy get upset with the messenger and to see him get in his car and drive out south? Because see, there are some, you can't tell me I'm heading the wrong direction. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. But see, in Scripture, what would have been involved for him to head the right direction? It's the word repent. Because do you know what repent is? The word repent means to, you got to turn around. You got to turn around. And to understand in that, that is one of the most difficult things in our life when we come to that place of saying, I need to repent. I need to turn around. For him, if he had turned around right then, he would have ended up in Chicago. But it probably would have taken him 4 hours. Because see, often when we have got ourselves in such a mess, we also have to retrace that where we've gone the wrong way. Today, my question for you is, are you on the road to financial freedom? If you are not on the road to financial freedom, what do you do? One thing that you can do is nothing. Continue down the same way. But to realize, in doing that, the signs that you will see will indicate you're heading the wrong direction. I believe a revival could occur at Grace Church if the individuals here, the Christians, said, I want to be spiritually mature. And to be spiritually mature means I'm on the road to financial freedom. And for that to occur, we cannot be a slave to the lender. We have to learn to wait, to not be so impulsive. I don't know how God's been speaking to your heart today. You know what road you're on. Is it the road to financial freedom? I have found this. When I have repented, and when God brought me to that point, I wasn't from St. Louis to Chicago. I was more like New Orleans to Chicago. I was a mess financially. And when God finally broke me, I had to take a stand and say, Lord, I acknowledge things are a mess. I'm impulsive. I don't like to wait. I'm not maturing. God, I repent. I turn. This morning, I'm going to ask in a moment if God has spoken to any of the heart of those of you who are believers and you need to take a stand. You may think, why do I take a stand? You know, it'd been embarrassed for that guy at the road stop to have to cross over to go the other way, because that would have been admitting you're right. Things are a mess. This morning, my concern isn't that you worry about anybody else, but that there's an audience of one. Those who are baptized, there was an audience of one who said, well done today. And if you want to be free, you can. I've heard people say, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to cut up my credit cards. Somebody said, I'm going to put my credit cards in water and freeze them. Hello, we live in a microwave society because we don't like to wait. I'm going to thaw those babies out real quick. And see, it takes more than saying, I'm going to try harder. That guy driving south could have said, I'm going to pay more attention and I'm going to look harder. He needed to repent, to turn and say, God, I agree with you. I'm heading the wrong direction. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray in a moment, and I am going to ask if God has impressed upon someone's heart that you are well aware that you're on the road that's heading the wrong direction. But I'm going to also ask another group of individuals. Somebody may be here, you've never entrusted your life to Christ. You have a debt also. Tell you what, you can't ever repay that debt. We sang earlier that Jesus paid it all. If God's Spirit has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you to also respond. Would you bow with me in prayer?